Proverbs chapter number 4. And Proverbs chapter number 4. We're going to find ourselves in chapter number 4 and also in chapter number 23. And then we're going to, and as I said, this is kind of not a, we're going to end up sometime in Philippians chapter number 4. We're sometime or another, but we want to lay some foundation tonight. And you pray God would help us and that God would help us to help you. In this day and age that we live in, there is a atmosphere in our world, and it's bred over or spread over into our churches. And faith does not flourish where in an atmosphere of pessimism and gloom. Okay? And I'm afraid that's pervading a lot of our churches, and there's a heavy depressive spirit, and it's not of God. It's not just in the world, but it's in the lives of believers. And so often we can see all that's wrong in the world, and we can see all that's wrong in our church, and all that's wrong in everybody's life. And there's a lot that's wrong today, okay? There are some things that are right, but there is a lot that's wrong. But if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up in that negativity that we forget who we are, we forget where we are, and we lose the mindset and the characteristic of thankfulness in our lives. And as I was studying on thankfulness, and as I was praying God would do something in my heart personally and would help me to grow personally in my life, and I realized that I had allowed some things to come into my heart and into my life and that were not of God. And sometimes those things are not sin. Now, we know this. The Bible teaches us that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But as we look through tonight, as we start this study, you pray God would speak to your heart and pray God would use this to help you, because I know that many of you, as well as myself and others, they deal with anxiety, they deal with discouragement, they deal with depression. We don't have the joy of the Lord in our heart. We don't have the peace of God in our heart. And, you know, we are the most blessed people in the world. And we are living in the greatest dispensation outside the millennial reign that man could ever live. We have the most advanced technology. We have the most, wonderful buildings to live in. Man, thank God for heat. Amen. Thank God for indoor plumbing. Thank God for vehicles to drive. Thank God for grocery stores. I mean, but then also, thank God we live in the day of grace that we're not having to keep the law. And God's not silent to us. We have a preserved Word of God that will speak to us and help us in these days. Well, I mean, man, doesn't matter if you have family that lives halfway around the world. You can pick up a telephone and call them and talk to them. If you want to listen to some preaching from somebody else, you just find it on Facebook or you go to the internet and you listen to it. Man, there's so many things that you and I today have the obligation and the responsibility to be thankful for. But let's look in Proverbs chapter number 4. Let's read verse number 23. Here Solomon was writing there to his son, and he was teaching him and trying to encourage him and giving him some words of wisdom. And look in verse 20. Let's read verse 20. He said, "My son, attend to my words, and incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Look verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now go to Proverbs chapter number 23. Proverbs chapter number 23. Let's begin to look at verse number 7. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 verse number 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I am. Here Solomon was writing, and he was saying, as the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Do you realize that your mind controls your being? James wrote there, he said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his way. Has there ever been a time in your life where you have known so many unstable people? And I mean, honestly, they're unstable. I know that there's a need for prescription drugs, but understand this today, there are so many people today that they have such an unstable balance in their life that they are looking at a chemical to bring stability to them. But the Bible says, keep thy heart, for out of it are the issues of life. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There's a battle going on today in the life of every child of God. Now, there's a battle going on in every human being, but there's a battle going on today in the life of every child of God. And that battle is a battle for your mind. There are three that are battling for your mind. For the longest time, I thought there was only two. But I realized through my study that there are three that battle for your mind. Number one is this, you are battling for your mind. You are the old man, the old natural man that Christ did, that Christ saved. Your mind is going back, and you say, what do you mean? Well, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that through our preaching. I don't know tonight that we'll get there, but so often we cannot move forward in our life as a child of God because we can't get over our past. Understand this, Christ died for our sins, and He forgave us of our sins and our failures. When we got saved, we became a new creature. Old things were passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And beloved, even today, He makes all things new in our life. And beloved, the best thing we can do is get over our past. Even though we got through it, it's time we get over it. Yes, we are lots of failures in our life. Every one of us can look around and see that we have failed as a husband or failed as a wife or failed as a mother or failed as a child or failed as a pastor or a church member or failed in some certain area of our life. And if we're not careful, we'll get hung up on our past failures and we can't move forward. And what we'll say, well, I'm a failure at everything I do. I'm not good enough. Nothing I do is going to work. All I do is mess up. Do you realize, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Understand this, not only the old man, but understand this, the devil's after your mind. And we're going to look at that. And then there's a third one who is battling for your mind tonight, and that's Christ. And Christ, understand, your mind is in a constant controversy. If you defeat the mind, you defeat the person. That's warfare. If you defeat the mind, you defeat the purpose. Hitler knew that. That's how Hitler conquered everywhere that he conquered and how that he started conquering Germany. And how that he caused the turmoil in the world that he did is because he began to conquer the mind of people. And if you're not careful tonight, you will live your life as a conquered Christian because you have a conquered mind. Because whoever conquers the mind, and once you defeat the mind, that person's defeated. You encourage the mind and you esteem the mind, you esteem the person. And we understand that thoughts affect our feelings and feelings affect our actions. So if we think that when we walk through the door, we're going to get run over by a bus, we will fear about seeing or meeting a bus or crossing a road, and that will probably filter through our actions where we won't step out the door. You see what happens, you see, as we can apply this in so many different scenarios, but the key to everything is the thoughts. And if you are continually having negative thoughts, you'll be having negative emotions and negative actions, and your actions and behavior will be determined by what you think about and what you feel at that present time and in that present situation. So you got to change your thinking. You have to change your thinking. Now understand this. Let's look tonight in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3. I want you to think of your mind as a garden. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Think of the mind as a garden. It must be cultivated and worked to be productive. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. I think, therefore I am. And if I'm going to get control of my mind and myself, you must get a grip on it. You must get a grip on it. It's your responsibility. It's not your spouse's. It's not the preacher's. It's not even God's responsibility. Look at what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is giving a command here, and he says, gird up your mind. That word means to bind up the loose flowing robes that might cause you to stumble. It means to gather them in. Don't let them hang loose or be neglected. Understand, in those days, as the men worked, as they went to battle, they would gird up their loins, they would gird up their robe or whatever the tunic there that ever they had on, and so that they could move more freely, that they wouldn't get entangled in it as they were running and doing battle. And understand this. Realize this, child of God, this life that we live here on this earth. I'm beloved, it is a battle. Every day that you wake up, you're waking up to a battle. Yes, I wish that it was not that way. I wish that we could have a day of rest and a reprieve. But until we understand that we're in a battle every day of our life, and beloved, that battle is for our mind, and the responsibility is ours. Now listen to me. He didn't say that the Lord Jesus Christ would gird up your mind. He didn't say that the Holy Ghost would gird up your mind. He said, wherefore, gird up your mind. That means you take control of it. You get a hold of it. You be the one that's responsible for it, because it's yours. Now understand, the same Jesus that saved your soul, He saved your mind. And we're going to look at that. But understand, until you get a grip that you're responsible for how you think. I can't control the birds that fly through the atmosphere of my brain, but I sure can control whether or not they build nests in there. And you need to remember that. We all need to remember that. You think of your mind as a garden. It must be cultivated and worked to be productive. If it's left to itself, it will be overgrown with weeds and plants that are detrimental to the health of the whole. Just cultivating it and plowing it under will not keep the weeds from coming back. So often in our lives we think, okay, well, we'll just cultivate, we'll plow under. But the fact of the matter is, when you do that in your garden, I don't care, you take any piece of ground that you want to take and you leave it there and you plow it up, you're going to have some weeds come by. And what that comes from is this, is there's a seed bank in that soil of weeds. There's a seed bank, and that seed bank may last there for 20 years, 30 years, or 40 years. But in the right conditions, that seed bank will bring forth in that soul if nothing is in competition. So we say, okay, well, I just won't think about things. Well, if we just plow them out. Well, the problem is, if we just plow it out and we just let it lay fallow, guess what's going to happen? The weeds are going to take over. And beloved, we can weed it all day long. But, and think about this also, not just the weed from the seed bank, but there's going to be weed seeds from the wind. There's going to be weed seeds from the birds. And they're going to cultivate or germinate there in that open, barren soil. And beloved, it is our responsibility to control what comes up. You say, well, I'll plow it again. Well, you ought to. But understand this, if you sow enough good seed in there, the good seed will choke out the bad seed. The good seed will not allow the bad seed to germinate. That is just like our mind. We're going to look at some scriptures tonight of casting down and throwing down. But we must understand, if we just do that, then we've left an open, fallow place for all of those past thoughts in our mind in life to come haunting back to us. You must first get a grip on it and realize that we must sow good seeds and good plants if we want to have a flourishing, productive garden in our mind. Notice this, if you have your Bible tonight, go to the book of Ephesians. Go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. These first two that you look at tonight are... they're to be dealt with by weeding out. They're to be dealt with by weeding out. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. I'm sure there are probably a lot of you who are just like myself, and you have these thoughts, and you're like, man, where'd them things come from? Why am I thinking on that again? Why is that here? I'll be honest with you, it amazes me at the most inopportune times that some of the thoughts that come through my mind. Honestly, if some of you had, you could see the scrolling of my mind in the first 10 or probably the first 20 minutes before I preach, you probably wouldn't even listen to me. Because the Bible is in the mind. But look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Notice what the Bible said here. The Bible says in verse 22 that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your, where? Mind. So understand this, the old man must be dealt with. The old mindset must be dealt with. The Bible says there that we're to put off the old man, the concerning the former conversation, the old man. That's the old lifestyle, the old thoughts, the old thinking. Remember, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The old man must be dealt with. We must put those things off. Look in Ephesians 4:17. He said, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart and unbelief, of the blindness of their heart. So understand this, your mind that you had before you got saved, it's still active today. Okay? Think about that for just a moment. Think about that mind that you had before you got saved. Think about those things you used to think about before you got saved. The Bible says, Jesus said this, He said, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. He said, if thy left hand offend thee, cut it off. Do you understand that's your responsibility? So often in our lives, we pray and we say, well, Lord, I want you to change my mind. Lord, I don't want to think this. Lord, I don't want to do this. But understand this, everything that we put before our eyes and everything that we put in our ears is controlling, is what we're sowing into our mind. And if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up on throwing of what we're sowing in that we're not taking nothing out. And he says that you're to put it off. He says you're not to think like you used to think. He says you're not to, that's something that you must put off. You can't think that way no more. That's your responsibility. But you put it off. You go in and you pull that weed out. You go in and you say, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to be tempted with that. I'm not going there. I'm not going to let my mind go there. I'm going to cast it out. I'm going to put it off. You mentally have to do that. God's not going to do it for you. You've got to. And that's why he said, you've got to gird up the loins of your mind, that you've got to be responsible for it. You've got to take care of it. But here he says, you're the one who has to put it off. So when that old man and those old thoughts and those old natural feelings and those things begin to creep back up in you, you say, what is that? Well, how about nobody likes me? Nobody loves me. I'm not any good. I'm not worth anything. I'm just a failure. I'm all alone. God don't care. Anybody deal with those thoughts besides the preacher? How soon did we forget that the Lord found value in us? How soon we forget that He died that we might have life? How soon we forget that He saw us in our sins and loved us in our sins and died for us? But yet we say, well, you know, nobody cares about me. I'll never be anything. Well, have we forgot that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Christ? Who started the work? You or him? Well, I'm just always am going to be this way. No, that's an excuse. Well, I'm just a worrier. We're going to get to that in just a moment. I'll always be a failure. I'll always come short. I'll never be able to be a good Christian. You just keep thinking that way, and you know what? You won't. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. And Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind, take control, you be the one. And he says, when those old thoughts of that old man begin to rise back up in you, and those old temptations of sin, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, those things that's going to damage your mind, he says, you cast them, you put them off, take it off. When you wake up in the morning and those thoughts are there, put them off. When you lay down in the bed at night, put them off. When you walk into the church church house, put them off. Take them off. Because that's not what you're to be thinking about. That's that old man. He says it's vanity of your mind. And so understand that as we have to consciously gird out those past thoughts of who we used to be and what we used to be, and even of our past failures of yesterday. If we've asked Christ to forgive us, guess what? We're forgiven. But how many times do we sit and understand this? As I said, we've all got failures, but we're not failure. You only become a failure when you quit trying. When you say, well, I'll be nothing but a failure, so there's no sense in me trying it no more. We have others that they don't even try. They've never tried anything. Why not? Why? Because they're afraid they're going to fail. Where does that come from?
Right there.
Well, I can't do this. Really? I told my children, I said, I don't ever want to hear come out of your mouth, I can't. It's never been allowed in my house. I say, don't tell me you can't. You tell me you can't, and I say, you don't want to. Don't say you can't, because you can. You can do anything. You can do anything. If somebody else can do it, you can do it. You just choose not to. Don't say I can't. Just say I don't want to. Or I have a fear of failure. But that has to be thrown down. Because understand, we have been saved. We're a new creature. He that has begun a good work in you, understand this, He didn't save us to fail. He saved us to pass. He didn't save us to sit on our laurels. He didn't save us to not do any work. If you'll notice this, everyone that God ever called in the Bible and that God ever used was a busy person. Moses was looking after his father's sheep. David was a shepherd. Daniel was faithful. Elisha was plowing the oxen when Elijah came by. Everybody that God ever called, Paul there, the Peter, James, and John were fishermen. Paul there was a soldier. Everybody God ever used was busy. See, our mindset is this, well, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. I can't get over my old life because I just am always going to be that way. But not the old man, not just the putting off and not the dealing with, but notice the devil here. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7. So we see the old man, but we also see the devil. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you understand? Notice what that Bible said there, the spirit of fear. Fear comes from a spiritual influence. Here's how fear works. It's what if. What if? My wife is scared of the dark. She's not scared of the dark. She's scared of the what ifs in the dark. What if there's a coyote out there? What if there's a panther out there? What if there's a bear? What if there's a snake? What if there's a wild dog? What if? Do you understand the fears that you have in your life? Most 99% of them's what ifs. What if I, going back to the bus scenario, what if I walk out the door and I get hit by a bus? The lady that I mentioned to you before that was scared of driving over the bridge. What if I drive over the bridge and the bridge collapses? What if? What if I don't? What if God doesn't provide and I don't make that payment? What if I have got a health problem that the doctors can't fix? What if I do hear the C word? What if I fail? What if somebody abducts me? What if I wreck again? What if my children don't get saved? What ifs? All of our fears come from what ifs. And the Bible says there that God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so understand this, when we let fear dominate us, what are we going to do? Nothing. Nothing. What if I do get rejected? I can't go soul winning on visitation. Because what if they ask me a question I can't answer? What if they reject me at the door? What if? It's every bit of our fears is what if? What if? And God, that's not of God. The Bible said, for God's not given us the spirit of fear, so that is a spiritual attack upon us. Okay? And God's not given us the spirit of fear, but God's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a what? Sound mind, peaceful, at rest, sound mind. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5. So every one of our fears, we could say, comes from an imagination. Not from truth, but possibilities. Now notice what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 says. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. When I hear the pages quit turning, I'll read. Because if you're gonna try to get there for me to read, I'm gonna wait on you till you get there, all right? Here we go. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Cast them down. That's what it says there. And that's what it means, literally. It means to cast them down. It means to throw them out. Who does that? You do. He didn't say that Jesus was going to cast down the imaginations. He told you, He gives us that direction. He said casting down imaginations. That's pictures. That's what they, where we get our word, our image. It comes from that word. That's the root word of there. Those imaginations in your mind, those images in your mind of you failing. Of you, what if? It's an imagination. So what do you do? You sit there and you begin to imagine it. I mean, some people won't get up and sing because, well, what if my voice cracks? What if I sing off key? What if I mess up? What if? Well, I can't teach. What if I say something wrong? Well, I can't sing. What if I'm notes off key? I can't do that. What if? It's fear. And it's an imagination. What if the bill doesn't get paid? What if I'm not cured? What if my children never get saved? What if my children go off and leave the things of God and go live a life of sin? What if they fall off the porch and get hurt? What if? It's a spirit of fear. And the Bible said there that we're to casting down imaginations, and because what we're doing when we have those thoughts in our mind, notice what the Bible said, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, what you're saying is this, is I've got more knowledge of the situation, even though I don't know what the future holds, but I have more knowledge of it than God does. Is that not what it says? That you're exalting yourself against the knowledge of God. That means that you're rising above the knowledge of God, that you're putting your knowledge above God's knowledge. But all you've got is an imagination of what if. What if? And the Bible says, here we're weeding out. Remember, the first weeding, He says, you've got to put it off. But He says, when the devil, the spirit of that fear, and the devil comes around and tries to battle you for your mind, He said, you're to cast it down. There's your weeding. You're pulling the weeds. You're pulling the weeds. Whose responsibility is that? It's yours. It's mine. But then what does he say this? Bring in every what? Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That word bringing into captivity means that you arrest them. That makes sense? So that thought that you're there and all of a sudden you're doing, how many times you ever prayed about God, you felt God led you to do something and you really went and you prayed about it and God gave you the liberty to move forward and you got up and you walked back to your seat or you got out of your secret place and you sit down and then all them other thoughts begin to come into your mind. Anybody else? Yeah. You know what you're to do? The Bible says you're to bring them into captivity. That means you capture them. You capture them, bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. That it's your responsibility to go in and capture those thoughts and bring them into captivity, and then you cast them down. Don't let your knowledge arise above the knowledge of God, and don't let the devil keep throwing them thoughts in your mind. I'm ugly. I won't measure up. You know your fear. The Bible says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Right? God made me just the way He wanted me to. There's some things about my body I don't like, but guess what? Some of it's my fault, but none of it's God's fault. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, I just wish I had the opportunity that other people had. But I can't step out on faith because what if I fail? What if? The Bible says that we're to cast those down. That we're to cast them down, and then as we go on moving forward and those thoughts begin to come back, He says we're to captivate them. The Bible says this, it says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see if they be of God. Now, understand this, I don't understand. I'm not possessed by the devil, I'm possessed by the Holy Ghost of God. You're not possessed by the devil, you're possessed. If you're saved, you're possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. And understand this, the devil cannot possess you, and I do not understand this, how he influences me. But according to that Bible right there, that God's not given me the spirit of fear, so where does that come from? Fear is of a spirit. So where does it come from? It has to come from the enemy. Because he didn't come from God. So whenever I go through life fearing things, you know what? It's not of God. And that fear causes anxiety. And that anxiety causes high blood pressure. That anxiety causes ulcers. That anxiety causes all these problems in our life. Physically. But they really start up here mentally. But let's go on and look, and I've got one more, and I'm closing, and it won't be as in detail. But notice, look in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Christ wants to renew your mind, but understand this: Christ cannot renew your mind. You can't let Christ renew your mind until you weed out the garden, and you get it plowed up, and you start planting good seed. And you plant good seed and you start planting good plants, understand this, Christ will do His part. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Christ wants to renew your mind. Christ wants to renew it. The Bible said in Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Christ wants to renew your mind, but understand this, there again, if we, nature abhors a vacuum. Okay? Everything that God created, He filled. He created the heavens, and He hung the sun and the moon and the stars in them. He created the earth, and He put creatures on it. He created the sea, He put the fishes in it. He created us. He gave us the Spirit of God. Everything God created, He filled. Nature abhors a vacuum. Do you say, okay, preacher, I have done my best in my life to cast down imaginations. I have done my best to try to put away those bad thoughts. But they just keep coming back. You want to know why? Because your garden's sitting there empty. You've plowed it up. You've weeded it. But you ain't put nothing back in it. You ain't put nothing in there to let it grow. Christ wants to renew your mind. But understand this. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and notice what the Bible said there in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Most of you can probably quote it. Philippians, the next book. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And you understand, when you and I put off the old man's mind, we cast down all the thoughts that the enemy is putting in our minds, and we surrender our minds to Christ, and we start bringing every thought unto the obedience of Christ. And according to the Word of God, this is obedience to Christ, that we think on these type of things. Is that not correct? And when we begin to think on these types of things, whatsoever things are lovely. Well, what can I think of today that is lovely? I think my wife is lovely. Boy, I think the sunset, the sunrise this morning was lovely. Whatsoever things are pure. Man, I see the pure innocence in a child. I see the Word of God is pure. Man, thank God for the Word of God. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are good report. If there be any virtue, if there's any praise. He said, if there's any, not a lot. He said, if there's any virtue in that thing, it didn't say that it had to be full of virtue, but whatever that is that you're thinking about, whatever that thought is, if there's any virtue, he said, do you think about that? If there's something there that deserves a little bit of praise, he says, you think about that. Is that not what he said? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he said, you think on these things. So you know what you're doing? You begin to sow seeds. You begin to plant flowers. And you know what Christ does? He makes them things grow. And He renews that garden in your mind. And he begins to give you... When that mind begets sounder, okay? You know what it does? I don't understand the connection. And it's not this thing that beats back and forth that's pushing all that blood. But this heart here that's inside of me, when this mind here gets right, there's something that takes care of this right here. I don't understand it. It's just the way God created me. But I got a responsibility. So often I pray and I say, God, take this from me. God, take this from my mind. God, please take this. God, please take this. And God says, throw it down. Most of the time we all wake up in the morning and we're so busy and we're so concerned about what we have to do and how we're going to get it done that we can't even... What our responsibilities, listen to him, our responsibilities become a burden. Yep. And because our responsibilities become a burden, we lose the blessings out of the responsibility. I have a responsibility to these children, but if I'm not careful, these children become a burden to me. But I prayed for these children, did we not? I think we did anyway. There were times I didn't have responsibilities of a job. There were times I didn't have a responsibility of a wife. There were times that Brother Bobby, a responsibility of a church that, I mean, I remember praying, God, allow me to pastor again one more time, Lord. But if I'm not careful, I'll get up and I'll look at the responsibilities as a burden. And I'll lose the blessing. And it's all, here's the problem. The only problem, it's not the church. It's not the family. It's me. and my mindset about it. Because I can't think of things as pure and lovely and honest and just and good report. I'm thinking, oh, man, I got to do this and I got to do this. I sure would like to go to sleep. I would sure would like to rest. My family all week. And honestly, this is something that God did for me. Okay? Because I struggled with it and I may struggle with it tomorrow. But Caleb, several times, he said, Daddy, I feel so sorry for you. There'd be turkey and sweet potato on my plate. Okay? That's all I would eat. And then something I ate this week tore my stomach up so bad that everything I eat caused me to have acid reflux. Everything. Didn't matter if I was supposed to eat it or not supposed to eat it. I mean, I was to the point today, I told Tina, I said, I think I'm going to go home, drink me some chicken broth, and just forget about eating. That's what's wrong with my voice. But throughout all the week, I wasn't thinking, I didn't walk by that plate, Brother Bobby, and see all those things that I couldn't eat. I went looking down the table for what I could eat. And if I found something there I could eat, Miss Fanny, I said, thank God I got something to eat. Now, used to, I'd get angry at God and get mad at me or whoever. Well, I'd get mad at whoever. And I said, well, man, I sure wish I could eat that. That ain't fair. That ain't fair. They get to eat it. Why can't I eat it? Now I'm just like, I don't care. Just give me something to tide me over. But I'm thankful. And it ain't what I did, but I had to change my mindset about it. And when I changed my mindset about it, God renewed my mind and God renewed my heart about it, and He helped me with it, and it don't bother me no more. It don't bother me at all that you sit there and eat peanut butter cake or a devil's food cake or some kind of apple cobbler. That don't bother me. Do I still want it? Yeah, but I'm smart enough now to know not to eat it. But I am thankful that I can still eat chicken. Hallelujah. Because, I mean, we're getting down there a little bit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Red meat's out. Y'all know how many things is red meat? Pork's out. You know how many things is made of pork? So I'm down to chicken and fish. And I'm like, now, praise God for chicken and fish. Oh, I could complain. But guess what? Don't do no good. But when I get thankful about it, God gives me grace and peace, and I just go on through life. I'm not saying I mastered it. I'm telling you of what God helped me, how God has helped me in the last 6 months. And it was when I started finding these things right here in the Word of God. And God said, you've been praying for me to change you. He said, you've got some responsibility yourself. You've been asking me to change you and change this and change this. He said, what about what you're supposed to be doing? What about you're supposed to be girding up your loins? You're the one that's responsible for it. You're the one to gather up all the loose ends. You're the one that's to be in control. And he says, when you have those bad thoughts and those thoughts that you shouldn't be thinking, whether it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, he says, you're the one that needs to throw them down. And he says, you're the one that needs to get past the past, that old man, and quit letting him come raising his head every time you turn around. And he said, you need to start thanking God and thinking on heavenly things. And when I began to do that, there was a change in my heart and in my mind. And I want you to experience that same change. But as we study this out, you'll see there's a whole lot more responsibility. But the biggest thing is it's yours and not Christ. But He'll help you. If you put forth an effort, don't miss 7 to come to the piano.